Welcome to the Strongstown United Methodist Church. Join us for worship each Sunday morning at 11. Here's this week's message.
My scripture reading for today comes from Jeremiah 29. I'll read verse 1 and then 4 through 7. And then Luke 17, 11 through 19. So beginning with Jeremiah. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests and the prophets and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it. Because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And from Luke. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God? Except this foreigner." Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Excuse me. I haven't eaten that coffee yet. This story is at a time when Jerusalem has been destroyed. Israel's been pretty well destroyed. Most of the people were carried into exile into Babylon. This would have probably happened about 586 or 5, I think it would be, somewhere in there. But they've already been taken into exile, the majority of the people. But I read where some of the people did have the choice. They could have stayed in Jerusalem. And Jeremiah was one of the ones that chose to stay in Jerusalem. I don't know why. I haven't figured that part out. But Jerusalem was basically destroyed. The temple was down in ruins. I can't imagine why they even wanted to stay there. But some of the people stayed behind. Now the people had been used to Jeremiah being a prophet of God, telling them what God was wanting them to do. And yet they didn't listen. They didn't listen. And we have the same problem today that people don't listen. Don't listen to God's word. Don't read God's word. And we don't follow through with what God wants us to do. So Jeremiah now, because he's still in Jerusalem, he sends a letter to the people in Babylon. To the people in Babylon to let them know what God is saying. Because the prophets that did go to Babylon are telling the people that this is going to be okay. We won't be here very long and we'll be back in Jerusalem. But Jeremiah, the true prophet, tells them that no, this is not what's going to happen. If you read on after what I read, it says you're going to be there for 70 years. So he's warning the people for 70 years they're going to be in Babylon. And later he tells them that God said, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then God will seek and find the exiles and then bring them back. But yet the prophets that are with them, those prophets are telling them it won't be long. So Jeremiah later, it's not in this part, but Jeremiah later warns them that those prophets will die. And if you read further on, they actually do die. So Jeremiah is the true prophet. He's already been proven that things that he has said was going to happen, but yet they still didn't want to listen to him. So now he's telling them that you're there, settle in, because it's going to be a lot. So he tells them to go ahead and build houses and plant gardens. Now, I'm sure it took them a while to build a house. I'm sure it took a while if you plant a garden till you get something from the garden to eat. So in the beginning, they were probably maybe living in tents, or I really don't know where they would have been. They probably didn't have much of anything. They had to rely on the people there to feed them, to take care of them. I'm sure there was many a hungry days, the way I would think about it. Here's the people that have destroyed some of your families, destroyed your homes, your buildings. But he says, build houses, plant gardens, and eat. And then he tells them to go on and marry and allow their children to marry and build families. He says, I want you to increase in number, don't decrease. Now, it's not in the part that I read, but I'm sure they had the understanding that they were to marry within their group, not with the foreigners, not with the people that had exiled them. But a lot of times we know that when they've been exiled to other places, what happened? They mix with the foreigners that they're around, and that's why we get people like the Samaritans. But he's trying to tell them that plan your lives, live your lives, getting back to God, get back to God, because of what they had done before is the reason they're in this predicament. Because they didn't follow God. They didn't listen to God. Now they're put into exile. So God does use some of the evil people to test some of us and to change our lives, because he allows them to do the harm to wake us up. And I think we've seen that already in our own country, if you think about 9/11 for an example. But he goes on to say, and this was the part that I want you really to think about this. He goes on to say that when you're planted in a place, to pray for those people. It's like where it says about pray for your enemies, right? We're supposed to pray for the people, even if they harm us. Now, we know as a group of Christians, we know that we're supposed to pray for our families, our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, whoever you want. You can go on and on with that list, and I think our list sometimes gets really long. But one of the hardest things, I'm not going to lie, it was hard for me to learn this. It's hard to pray for your enemies. And I can imagine that these Israelites had a hard time praying for the people that have destroyed everything they had, killed part of their family probably, have moved them to a strange land that they don't know what to expect, and are probably very hungry and without a home and who knows what else, grieving the loss of family. And yet Jeremiah sends them this letter to pray for those people. And I don't know about you, I admit, that's a hard thing to do, to pray for the people that have harmed you. If you're, even as a young person, you're in school and somebody bullies you, you don't want to pray for that person. But yet, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to pray for our enemies. I want you to concentrate on that a little bit, because I know that's a tough one. I had to struggle with that myself. And I understand when you do. But yet, if you think about what he goes on to say there, is if they prosper, you also will prosper. So if the place that you're at, no matter where it is, if they're prospering, then it will help you also to prosper. So if we think about that, kind of the story I like to tell is, how many times are we on a job and we see people that don't care about their job and they're stealing from the company, or they're doing damage to equipment with the company, and they go, oh, it's not mine, I don't care. Mm-hmm. But think about it. If you do enough damage, that company's going to go out of business, you're out of a job. But if you take care of that company, the company makes profit. Now, hopefully, I'll say that part, hopefully, they'll pass some of that on to you. So you prosper because they prosper. And I know that's a hard thing for all of us to do, is to pray for people that we just have a problem with. It doesn't matter who it is, whether you know the management of the company or whether you don't. I work part-time for Pepsi. I don't know the management people. I barely know the people in Johnstown. And that's a multi-billion dollar company. But I see the damage that people do. They don't take care of the equipment. They don't take care of things. And you wonder, how do they survive? And that's with any company. And in this case, Jesus is talking about the city that you're living in. He's telling the people, pray for those people. The people around you, whether you know them, whether you don't know them, whether they're the ones that may have killed your brother or sister or whomever, you're still supposed to pray for them. Tough one, isn't it, people? I admit it, it is. But it's God's ways. It's Jesus' way. We know that Jesus told his disciples to pray for everyone. So even if they're your enemies, even if they're the ones that have sinned against you, if we learn to have the love of God, we will learn to pray for those people. And we, in turn, will get something out of that. And it's not just our rewards afterwards. It's the rewards that you also get on earth. But yes, you're also gaining rewards in heaven. But sometimes we have a hard time with that because we're so wrapped up in what's going on around us. Most of us even forget to pray for the people we need to pray for. And I'm not bashing anybody, but I know how easy it is to get so busy in life that you barely take time to pray for the people that you need to pray for. Yes, we have prayer warriors, and I thank God for prayer warriors that spend ample time praying for everybody that's on our list and even those that aren't on our list. I do a lot of praying when I'm driving. No, I don't close my eyes. It's okay to pray when you're driving. I think that's a good time because you're in a vehicle by yourself and you can have a conversation with God. We don't have to close our eyes to talk to God. So you can pray anywhere, anytime that you are willing to. Problem is, most of us are so busy and so active that we're around other people and we don't want to pray when we got all these other people listening to me. So it's a good time when you're driving. If you spend a lot of time driving, to me, that's a perfect time. I spend a lot of time on the road, so it's a perfect time. But even in our prayers, it's so easy to start our list, which most of us have our little list, right? We start our list at home, and we get out of our little circle. How far out of that circle do we get? How far out of that circle do we get? We have a tendency to stay within our circle. And we need to learn to be better at spreading that circle out and not be just family, just friends, just acquaintances, but to be for everybody, even our enemies. Wow, that's a tough one. I know right now we all probably, I hate to say this word, but hate Putin for what's going on, right? But we need to pray for Putin because maybe it will change the way things are going on. We need to pray for our leaders that they change the way they're doing things. We need to pray for people that we work for, people that we don't know, people that have maybe harmed us in some way. We still need to pray for them. And I know that's tough, but that's one of the things I want you to get out of today is we need to pray more and to pray for everybody. Not neglecting anyone. Not neglecting anyone. Think of that. Well, I want to get time to talk about the Samaritan. I think this is a good story. The 10 that Jesus healed. Did you catch this part? It says that when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. So they had enough belief in Jesus Christ that the minute he told them to go show themselves to the priest, because they had to do that to be able to get back into society, they started on their way to the priest before they were healed. So they had to have some kind of a faith, didn't they? Or they wouldn't have started. And as they're going, they get healed. But only one returns to thank God. Are we like that one that we're willing to thank God for what we have? Are we like the other nine? We're just, oh yeah, we're thankful, but we're not going to take time to tell anybody. We're just going to go on about our lives. And I think that's the other thing we need to think about. Are we thankful like the foreigner? I don't know why it was so important that Christ made it important to say the foreigner, the Samaritan, was the one. Today we should consider that no one is foreigners. You ever thought about that? We should not think about people as foreigners. It shouldn't matter the color of our skin. It shouldn't matter the country we were born in. It shouldn't matter what we believe or don't believe. We're all in this world together. We're all brothers and sisters. If we're willing to think that way, if we're willing to be part of Christ's family, we're all brothers and sisters. But here, it's like only one said thank you. If we take time to say thank you, I like to in the morning when I have my breakfast. Sometimes I worry my breakfast is going to get cold before I get done, but I at least like to thank for the stuff I have. And I want you to think about that. You know, most of us take for granted. You know the song about count your blessings? Have you ever taken time to count your blessings? When you go home today and you walk into your house or your place of residence, I want you to take a second and I want you to look around and look at all the stuff we have. We've all been blessed. Trust me, we've all been blessed. Yeah, we might have payments on all that stuff. But we got it, and we're making our payments. We got it, right? We could be with nothing. Think about the person that, especially like New York City, they have nothing. They live on the street, have a cardboard box for their home, beg for their food. We have plenty, but we take it for granted. We're guilty of that. We're guilty. So the two things today. First is the prayer, that we need to learn to pray to God more and pray for everything and everybody. But we also need to learn to be thankful for what God has blessed us with. God has given us above and beyond our needs. I don't know about you, but I know we have plenty of food in the cupboards, have a freezer with food in it. We are blessed, but we take it for granted. So if you learn nothing else today, thank God for what he's blessed us with. Thank God for everything that he's given you. And then also pray for those that don't have, those that are the problems, the enemy. The enemy, that's a hard one, I know it is. Trust me, I know it's hard to pray for your enemy. I hope you can say next week, you know, that was tough, but I did it. But I did it. That's what God wants. It's about what we're doing for God because we are his children. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly God, you have blessed each one of us. And Lord, I know I am thankful for all that I have. I'm thankful for the blessings you bestowed upon me, and I'm thankful for the blessings of these wonderful people and the blessings I know that you've given them. And yes, we keep praying for more blessings because we always want a little bit more. But I also pray, Lord, that not only do you bless us, but you take care of us. You take care of our families, our friends, even our enemies. So teach us, Lord, to pray for everyone. And teach us to be thankful for everything. We thank you. Thank you and praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.